For those of you that don't know me, I'm Avery. I'm the Director of Youth and Outreach here at Christ Pres. It's great to be with you this morning. I'm going to be preaching from Psalm 136. We have 26 verses this morning, and it repeats a phrase that you'll hear 26 times, which we sorely need to be reminded of. My father finished his first round of some intense chemo last week, but God's steadfast love endures forever. Many of you have experienced the same thing, cancer and chemo and treatments, but God's steadfast love endures forever. There's sickness in this room. There's people that have been put in hospice care this year. There's so many things happening that we see as bad, but God's steadfast love endures forever. Let's read Psalm 136 to be reminded that God's steadfast love really does endure forever. So this is Psalm 136. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's in your bulletin if you want to follow along, or if you have a Bible, you can follow along there as well. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your steadfast love that endures forever. We need to be reminded of that. We forget it every day. Thank you for every life and every family represented in this room today. I pray that it really is a reminder as we leave that your steadfast love endures forever. Despite sickness, despite hardship, despite broken families, despite broken marriages, your steadfast love endures forever. Remind us of that. Make it fresh in our minds today. Amen. In 1636, amid the darkness of the 30 years' war and famine and sickness, a German pastor, Martin Rinkert, became his area of Ellenburg became an overcrowded refuge for those from surrounding country districts. So a steady stream of refugees poured into his city as the Swedish army surrounded it. In 1637, the plague claimed 8,000 people, including the vast majority of his town council, a large number of children, other pastors that he knew well from neighboring parishes, and his wife. It is said that Martin Rinkert buried 5,000 of his parishioners himself in 1 year, an average of 15 a day, doing the work of around 3 men daily for a year. His parish was ravaged by war, death, economic disaster, and in the heart of that darkness, with cries of fear outside of his window, he sat down and wrote a song. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, with wondrous things he has done, in whom his world rejoices, whom from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today, because his steadfast love endures forever. God is God. His steadfast love endures forever. God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His love never fails. His steadfast love endures forever. This psalm expects us to repeat that 26 times. For his steadfast love endures forever. Meaning that every pleasant and painful point of redemptive history, every pleasant and painful point of our lives has its root. Verses 4 to 9 start with God's creation and how he shows us in his creation that his love endures forever. But before I talk about that, I want to say that isn't it pretty interesting that many denominations that abandon God's word, abandon God's truth, they start emptying out. Think in your head of a Protestant denomination that has denied essential parts of the Apostles' Creed, and is it growing in membership? No. Why is that? Because people are smart. Why would you worship someone you don't believe in? Why would you come to hear a word preached if you don't think it's true? People understand there's a connection. You understand there's a connection. You don't worship a God you don't believe in. You get up and you use half your day on a Sunday and multiple other days throughout the week and so much of your year. You wouldn't do that for something you don't believe in. People have connected the dots, and where the word is not believed and where God is not believed, there's no reason to show up. The psalmist taught this a long time ago, that our worship is rooted in what we believe. Our worship is rooted in truth, and one of the essential truths is that God's steadfast love endures forever. It's really easy just to gloss over this. It's said 26 times, and a lot of you probably did gloss over it. But we need to pause and think about it. We've just heard about the character of God in verses 1 through 3. We've heard about the Lord who is good, the God of gods, the one true God, the Lord of lords, which means he's in control over everything. And this God, this good, true, all-powerful God, loves us with an everlasting love. We've talked about this word a lot, the word hesed. That's the steadfast word we get from the original language of Hebrew. But we don't need to let it grow cold and dull and boring. It's a special covenant love. That means this good, true, all-powerful God doesn't give up on his people and doesn't stop loving his people. He doesn't revoke his love to his people. It means God loves his people no matter what. Even when we don't deserve it, He promises to love us. The Jesus Storybook Bible explains this love in a really beautiful way. You see, no matter what, in spite of everything, God would love his children with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And though they would forget him and run from him, deep in their hearts, God's children would miss him always and long for him. Lost children yearning for their home. Many of you know that I'm married, and many of you are married yourselves. My wife made vows to love me even when she doesn't feel like it. I made vows to love her even when I don't feel like it. We promised to give our love to each other and signed our names on a marriage certificate, a binding promise with legal ramifications. We live in a culture that says if you really love each other, you don't have to get married. That's a love you can walk away from at any moment. It's not safe. It's not secure. God's love is a special, covenantal, unbreakable promise. It's an unbreakable commitment. Do you want that kind of love? Yes. Do you need that kind of love? Yes, you do. Maybe you've experienced that kind of loving promise in your own life. That's a dim picture of the kind of love God offers us today. Or maybe you've never experienced that love that's lasting and safe. God offers it to you this morning because his love endures forever. His love has endured from our beginning. Verses 4 through 9 tell us that. These verses show that God's enduring love back from the start of created order. They thank God for the beginning, for creation, all the way back in Genesis 1. God made the heavens, the waters, the lights. He made us. He made the sun and the moon, and he tells them when to rise and fall. He created us uniquely, gifted us uniquely, every piece of us. God, the creator and sustainer of all things, has an enduring love that seeks you out and searches for you. His love endures in both captivity and in deliverance. Although we don't know who wrote this psalm, it's written for the nation of Israel because it jumps through their history. It goes through the book of Genesis, goes straight to Exodus and the formation of Israel as they came out of captivity in Egypt. Egypt was, let's call it a first world country of that time period, and the Lord absolutely crushes them to deliver his people. But that was after 400 to 430 years of captivity in Egypt. Cruel, hard slave labor for 400 to 430 years. Do you think in that time period the Israelites ever despaired? Yes. Do you think they ever doubted God and wondered if he would ever show up? Yes. Do you think they ever wondered when they would be free? Yes. When we're captive to something, it's easy to despair. When you're tied up by an overwhelming boss or a family member who's cruel or by a sickness you just can't get rid of, or a family member that's sick and dying, or addiction to drugs or alcohol, bitterness so deep you don't know if you're ever going to be able to shake it. You can fill in the blank. God's steadfast love still endures forever. God doesn't love you any less, even if the captivity is your fault. Even if you've chosen your shame, God's steadfast love still endures forever. He loves us because he poured out his anger at our sin upon his son, Jesus. Jesus suffered and died to set the captives, us, free. The cross displays God's love. Jesus' death on the cross was for us today because his steadfast love endures forever. His love even endures when we wander. I just want to point out that God took the Israelites out of Egypt and then to Sinai and all the way to the border of the Promised Land. But because they didn't believe, they spent the next 40 years wandering. You've probably seen a missing persons poster, or you've probably got an Amber Alert on your phone that freaks you out, and you probably get annoyed by it, but you still get it. Family members put those up not because they're mad at their child or whoever's lost. They put them up because they want to find their family member. They love them. They want them to come home. You've probably seen the Taken movies as well. I think there's probably four by now. Liam Neeson doesn't get mad that his daughter gets abducted and goes on a silly trip, right? He goes absolutely nuts trying to find her. When our hearts wander, when we run away from our church family, when we get into relationships we shouldn't, when we utterly fail, God's love still endures. His love endures when others attack us. As the Israelites wandered the wilderness, they encountered hostile kings and their armies, but rejoiced because even in the face of aggression, God's love endures. You saw that Shihon and Og were mentioned in our psalm. You can read that story later in your afternoon Bible reading time in the book of Numbers. Moses had to lead the Israelites through the land of the Amorites. And so he sent a word to King Shihon saying he and his people wouldn't eat from their vineyards or drink from their wells if Shihon would let them pass through. But he was evil. Shihon was evil and he attacked them. God defeated him and gave Israel their lands. When people attack you and hurt you unfairly, God can use it for good because his steadfast love endures forever. According to tradition, priests and Levites possibly sang Psalm 136, it's called the Great Hallel, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. The scriptures tell us that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn as they left the Passover meal to go to the Mount of Olives. Jesus fulfilled Psalm 22 as he hung on the cross. And it's very possible that Jesus sang this psalm as he walked to the cross. Can you hear it? Jesus singing out, his love endures forever, as he's walking to the cross. When you feel like you're surrounded, when powerful people attack you, when you're oppressed by spiritual darkness, think of Jesus marching to the cross. His love endures forever. If you trust in Jesus, we can say that too. His love endures forever. For his steadfast love endures forever highlights God's covenant love as the ground of all of our blessings and hopes. We've already mentioned that, but it does something else too. Saying this refrain, saying this phrase over and over is deliberately designed to bring home the relevance of every act of God for us to sing that his steadfast love endures forever. The repetition of that phrase is designed to convince us, convince the believer of this song, that God has done everything, is doing everything, and will do everything for us, because his covenant doesn't break. He's making all things work together for good, for you, for us, because he loves us. We're called according to his purposes. He has created this world for us. He sent his son for us. His loving kindness is for all people. This is designed to press home that every single one of those 26 things said in this psalm and a billion more, God has done in his love, is doing in his love, and will do in his covenantal, unbreaking love. You have no idea, I have no idea how much he loves us. What's our response? The only possible response is to give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. When I was younger, I tended to be a wanderer sometimes. One afternoon, my parents and my older brother, Brad, went to a baseball game, and they dropped me off at my grandparents' house about half a mile from Cornelia City Park, if you know where that's at. I was around Holcomb, my son's age, 3 or 4, and I knew there was a baseball field at that park. But unfortunately, that was not the field they went to, but I went there by myself, snuck out, and I guess with the large amount of wisdom I had at that point, I thought they would be there. My parents were not mad. They were scared. They wanted to find me. Thankfully, I was found, but not without a police search. And it was across a pretty busy road. I don't know how I made it, but I did. Everybody was ecstatic that I was found in that park. That's just a small glimpse of God's heart for us today. He doesn't care that we're wandering. He just wants us to come back. He wants us to come to him because his steadfast love endures forever. You've probably heard the story of the prodigal son many times, but I'll give a quick recap. In the book of Luke, Jesus tells a story of a son who takes his inheritance early from his dad, runs off and literally squanders it all, and uses all the money his dad gave him, has nothing left, ends up with no hope, eating with the pigs in a pig pen. With nowhere to go, he decides home is his only shot. He goes thinking maybe he can come back as a servant, maybe a slave to the family. He just wants to come back. But when the son goes back home, his dad is actually waiting for him, looking for him. His dad is overjoyed that his son came home. He threw a huge party. His son was home. God's steadfast love endures forever. God desires us to come to him despite what is happening, despite addiction, despite hardship, despite sickness. I asked these questions earlier, and I'm going to ask them again. Do you want this kind of love? Yes. Do you need this kind of love? Yes and yes. Please, today, if you know this kind of love already, be reminded again that God's steadfast love endures forever. If you do not think you've ever known this redeeming love that Jesus offers us through belief in his life, death, and resurrection, today is the day to believe because God's steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your redeeming, steadfast, unbreakable love to us. As we come to the table today, I pray that this meal is a simple reminder to us, a good reminder to us that your steadfast love does endure forever through a broken body and through blood poured out for us. We see that your love endures forever. Through hardship, through famine, through plenty, your steadfast love still endures. You're the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. You have breathed breath into our lungs even today, because your love endures forever. Remind us today, remind us this week that your steadfast love never ends. Amen.